You all are aware of my work at Blue Mountain College besides here at Ripley Presbyterian Church. We had big news to announce this past week, and some of you have received that we will have Tim Tebow coming this next spring in 2016 to share in a speech at a scholarship banquet. Exciting times. We sent out an email blast. How about that? Isn't that a fancy word? This past Friday. We had everything choreographed perfectly. We had holy convocation, which is kind of a formal kickoff to a new school year. Many of us are familiar with graduations, the formal setting of the ending of a school process. But we also celebrate something there known as convocation. Isn't that neat? Celebrating the beginning of the journey as well as the ending. So we had it choreographed wonderfully. We celebrated convocation. Our president made the announcement about the big news, and then immediately after worship, the email was sent out. It worked perfectly. The message looked great. And then I got an email response from someone just yesterday, a rather, can I say, rude response in church. They said, "You may be unaware, but the date on your email was wrong. You had April 2015 instead of 2016. You may want to correct this before you send it to the others." There were a few other snide remarks. And you know, I couldn't help but notice, and I hope that person isn't here today. No, I know they're not here. I don't know this person. Is this thing on? Is this recording? I couldn't help but notice as I reflected upon our scripture today and thought that the sadness of that exchange was that this poor soul focused more on what we got wrong than what we got right. Isn't that a challenge? We hear it. If we listen very long to the world around us, right? To the voices that Jesus spoke of in our scripture today, he called them this. He called them Pharisees. The naysayers. Those who look more critically upon our actions for what we're doing to blow it than what we're doing to excel the glory of God. And Jesus called them on it. He said, "You know, you Pharisees, you're majoring in minor issues." That's my interpretation. You're getting so wrapped up on the human traditions that you're missing the essentials, the true call to faith. I love the way Jesus records it here. I don't know if your Bible says it this way, but in the scripture that I shared this morning, that Jesus said, you very much endure the words that Isaiah said about you, what he prophesied about you. You get wrapped up in these traditions, and here's the word I really like, and you fail to remember the commandment. See there? See what he's saying? Jesus doesn't say there, you fail to remember the commandments, plural. He says you fail to remember the commandment. Well, what is that? Well, certainly, those of us who heard the story and teachings of Jesus can remember maybe that passage we heard for the first time when Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment, love." It's so easy, isn't it? In the world we live in, and for us to hear the voices of the naysayers, the Pharisaic voice that focuses more on our shortcomings than on the fullness of God working in our life. Jesus says, we get it wrong when we do that. When we keep up with the do's and don'ts and legalistic lifestyle and forget in all of that pursuit to begin church with love. Let's be perfect, as Paul would say. In his letter to the church in Ephesus, Paul says, God made us to be perfect in this, in love. It's the beginning of our faith. As we as a congregation celebrate new beginnings today, holy baptism in the journey of Christmas, we remember that it all begins and ends in love. You know, several years ago I was serving in a pastorate in Memphis. We went to eat one Sunday at a nice Italian restaurant there in Bartlett named Coletta's. Maybe some of you frequented Coletta's. There was this interesting young man. He wasn't a waiter. I don't think he was quite fully qualified to be a waiter. He was more of what I would call a bus boy. That might not be the politically correct term these days, but he cleaned up the table, okay? This gentleman probably was about 30 years old, but he had the energy and excitement of a 13-year-old. He had bright red hair, and as he made his way around cleaning the tables, you would find him anytime you made eye contact with you. He'd have this brilliant smile. It just erupt on his face. And not only would he smile, he'd do this. He'd give you a little click. He'd go, point you down with a double barrel, shoot you with a hanger. And he'd smile. And sometimes he'd get down in the stance and do it like he was about to take on a pass rusher playing football. He was clicking this way and that way and smiling at everybody. And finally, I asked one of the waiters, I said, what's wrong with that guy? He said, oh, he's a little special. He said, but I tell you what that guy does. He said, he makes my day better every day I come here to work. He makes me smile inside when I don't even feel it on the outside. He said, I don't know what's wrong with him. I just try to focus on what's right with him. Amen. You see, I was so conscious and blurred in my vision to wonder, what's wrong with that guy? I was failing to look deep within to ask the greater question, what was right with him? You see, the Pharisees are all around. And sometimes we look in the mirror, even the old pastors, and we see the Pharisee looking back at us. Sometimes we ourselves look through the mirror dimly, as Paul says, and see the pale reflection and focus more on what's wrong, even with our own life, than what's right. We fail to be people of worship and thanksgiving. I don't know about you, but sometimes I can get so overwhelmed with the challenges in my life, the overcoming obstacles at work, or at church, or the frustrations in family, let's be honest, church. Sometimes we can get so wrapped up in what's wrong in our world that we fail to see what God is making right. We are not alone. We are not alone, the girls sang about it this morning. You see, the world is filled with challenges. But our God overcomes the world. We are not alone, church. Hear the words of Scripture where Jesus says, love, embrace my commandment. You know, the very first pastor that I shared, I had a lovely lady in that church, named Miss Pauline. I've shared this story with some of you before. And Miss Pauline had a rustic-looking home. She had more money than anybody else in the church, and her home was modest, conservative. nothing elaborate. And in the midst of her home, Miss Pauline had this old rugged, ugly, gaudy lamp. And worst of all, it had this big gash, this big crack that ran all the way from the top to the bottom. It was obvious it had been broken all the way in two. When bones like that are broken, they have to go through intensive surgery to be put back together. When cheap lamps are broken, well, they should be thrown in the trash. Miss Pauline caught me looking at it. She said, "Oh, I see you like my lamp." I said, "Yeah, that's a lovely lamp, Miss Pauline. You think I could take it home with me?" She said, "Oh, no, no. That's a special lamp." She said, "You see, that lamp hasn't always been a lamp. It was originally a vase, and one of my friends gave it to me as a birthday present." She said, just as she was presenting it, she dropped it on the ground. It broke half in two. She said, "You may not notice that it had been broken before." I said, "No, I didn't realize that, Miss Pauline." She said, "But my husband took that vase, and he was an engineer. He could build anything." She said, "He took that broken vase and he put it back together. He glued it back together. But he didn't stop there. He wired it and transformed that broken vase into the beautiful lamp that you see today." She said, "Oh, I know it's got scars and scrapes and a big gash that runs down the center where it'd been put back together. But," she said, "the scars and scrapes that it once had, we just ignore those." Wow. We're not alone. We celebrate the gift of holy baptism today. And we remember most of all the Pharisaic voice of critical nature to ourselves that, "I'm too broken. My scars are too deep. I've blown it too much." And Almighty God comes to us through the gift of baptism. And like a broken vase, He puts us back together. But not only does God forgive and overcome our brokenness, He transforms us through His love to be like the lamp, beacons of light for all the world to see. May we so let our light shine before men that they may see the glory of our Lord and praise Him forever. Amen.